Okay, we make today's shir for a Zecher Nishmas, Esther Rivka Bas Yeshaya. Yeshayahu, whose Levaya was this week. She should be a Melitza Yeshara for her entire Mishpacha and all of Klal Yisrael. And Yibadu L'chaim Toiv Maruchim, we make a Rufur Shlema for Yaakov Moshe Ben Fradel Ita and Yehuda Aryeh Ben Hadassa Idol. They should have a Rufur Shlema Say Shar Chol Yisrael, Mitzvah Hashem. So we just finished Purim just a week ago today, but of course Purim never leaves us, and we always like to say something just to keep the Purim spirit going a little bit longer. So somebody came over to me Purim night and asked the following question. The question that they asked was, if the Milchama finished of Purim on the night, on the first night, right, it finished on the 13th, so why did we celebrate on the 14th? And by the same token, it says that Purim, that the in Shushan, they finished fighting on the 14th, and we celebrate on the 15th. Why do we celebrate on the day that we had the victory? Why do we wait a day and celebrate a day later? So I happened to be talking to my son David, and he mentioned a Meshech Chochma. But first I'm going to ask a question. Has anybody here ever heard of VJ Day or VE Day?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, of course.
Not that it was more.
Yeah, I know. We were. Do you remember, Ms. Lamas, VJ Day and VE Day?
Yeah.
VE Day. Victory Europe and Victory Japan. When they ended World War II.
They had that here in my time?
No, this was before, but I'm just wondering if you heard of it.
No,
it was before my... Okay, I'm just wondering. Okay, but anyway, when they finished World War II, just a little history quiz, when they finished World War II, so when they finished in Europe in May 8th of 1945, so they called it VE Day, Victory Europe. And when they won in Japan in August...
Pearl Harbor Day, that's...
That, remember. Yeah, they called it, that they called VJ Day, Victory Japan. So... What I think what the Meshech Chochma was telling us is that we don't believe in that. We don't believe in celebrating victories. We believe in celebrating peace. So we don't celebrate the day of the victory. We would have called it PE, Peace Europe, or Peace Japan. Because to a Yid, what's important is that we have peace, that we have shalom. That's what we count.
Veterans Day.
What we say is Yidden, we don't want to start up with anybody, we don't want to fight with anybody, we want to have victories over anybody. All we want to do is be able to be Oyved HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sholom U'B'Nachas. So therefore, when we do have challenges and we do have wars, the day that we celebrate is the day of peace, not the day of victory. So I just thought that's a beautiful Purim, left over from Purim. We should have a little bit of the Purim feeling. Okay, let's go on to Parshas. This week we're going to learn Parshas Shmini. It'll touch a little bit on Pesach as well. So we have, if you take a look and you want to open your Chumash and take a look, we have the story, the very sad story and of Nadav Avihu. So we know Pasuk tells of Yichu bnei Aaron, Nadav Avihu, Ishmachtaso. Each one of them took their fire pan, Vayinu bem Eish, and they brought on it fire. Vayosimo oleim ketoris, and they put on it ketoris, the spices. Vayik yakriv lifnei Hashem, and they Eish zara shelo tziva oisam. They did an Eish zara that they were not commanded to do. Vateitz Eish lifnei Hashem, and a fire goes out from Hashem. Vatoichel oisam, and it consumes them. Vayamus lifnei Hashem, and they died in front of Hashem. Vayomer Moshel Aaron, Hu asher dibra Hashem lemer b'kroi v'akodesh. That's what I told you, that b'kroi v'akodesh, Hashem sanctifying with those who are close to Him. Va'pnei kol ome kovet, and that brings kovet to the whole nation. Vayidum Aaron, and Aaron was silent. Vayikra Moshel Mishol v'lisof, and he calls Mishol v'lisof b'nei Uzil, died Aaron, v'yomer Leim, kirvu, take them out. So the question is, in the Gemara it talks about what did they do wrong. And it gives a lot of different answers. One answer, they were chesuye yayin, because they drank wine. Maybe it was for good kavanah, because you want to be like Levitics, you go in the basement, but the wrong thing. Some say because they were Meir HaLachiv Rabban. They didn't ask. They just went in. They didn't ask. They just did it. Another is that they didn't get married. Many, many reasons are given the Gemara. And the bottom line question that's always asked is, but if you look in the Pasuk, it says, they brought an Eish Zara, Shalot Tzivai Son. They brought an Eish Zara that they weren't commanded. So what did they do wrong? And really, what can we learn from from the Bnei Aaron for ourselves. And how can we see? I think we're in Yitz Hashem. You should all like what I'm going to say, but there's a question I've had for many, many years, maybe decades, and this really gives an insight into our davening, that we daven every single day, and perhaps noticing something that maybe we didn't notice, which is we often do. So I saw Rav Schwab say from the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, he goes on a different pasuk earlier in the parasha. The pasuk says in Perek Tes Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Moshe, after he gives the original tzivui of what to do by Yom HaShmini on the day of the inauguration, and the pasuk says in pasuk vav, "Vayomer Moshe," and Moshe said, "Zeh adavar asher tziv Hashem tasu." This is what Hashem is commanding you to do. V'yeleichem kavod Hashem. Do this, and Hashem will appear to you. Do this, and you will have the kavod of Hakadosh Baruch Hu on you. So he brings the Torah's Kahan. Says the Torah's Kahan, listen carefully. Amar lem Moshe. Moshe said to Yisrael, "Oyse yetzer hara." That yetzer hara. Hevirum levavchem. Take that yetzer out of your heart. The oz, and then the yer lechem kvayt Hashem, and then you will have the kvayt Hashem. So he says, what yetzer are we talking about? Take a yetzer out of your heart, and then you'll see the kvayt Hashem. Well, that's obvious. It's obvious. If I want to see the kvayt Hashem, I can't be in the middle doing averus. You can't expect a person to sit and do averus, and then the shchina should come to him. So what does it mean? What yetzer as Rav Schwab are we talking about? What does it mean? That yetzer. That yetzer. Be careful. Don't fall into that yetzer. You won't see kvayt Hashem. It's obviously not posh. It's not going regular averus. Says Rav Schwab beautifully. The kavana al oisi yetzer shall dilug. That you, the person who doesn't do, take care of the dinim and the tzivuyim, he doesn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch, he doesn't do the dinim, he's very lax in mitzvah observance. Why? Because he has so much love for Hashem. He's so enveloped and so engrossed in his avas Hashem that it blinds him to everything else. He gets, I don't want to say sloppy, but he's so thinking about Avas Hashem, it's hard to think, you know, to all the details of the mitzvah, the details of the tzvuyim, and so on. I know I heard B'Shem, one Rebbe, he says he went to the tish of the Magen Mizrich, but at Shalosh Shudas. And the Rebbe used to say Torah. He says, but I'll confess, I never really got to the Torah part of it. Because the Rebbe would say, Vayomer Hashem, or V'yadaber Hashem el Moshe Lamer. He'd say, V'yadaber Hashem, and I go, Hashem. The way I hear it from the Magid, such Kedusha, such Tara, like he became so absorbed in thinking about Hashem and the beauty of the... He couldn't, like he stopped listening, because it was too much. So says Rav Schwab, that's the Yetzer we're talking about. The Yetzer of too much Avas Hashem. As it says, Ava Mekalkelis as Ashura. It's a Medish. Ava, too much Ava.
You love Hashem too much.
Well, we'll see. Well, yeah, you got lots to go. Right? We just started. we're going to get good stuff. So he says, Ava Mekalkelis Ashura. Too much Ava is Mekalkelis. It means
anything is no good.
Very good. Excellent. Right. Good. Right. But even Ava, too much is Mekalkelis. He gives an example to give a mashal to a person who's hugging a child. And they love the child so much, the child starts yelling, "You're killing me, I can't, you know, you're hugging me too hard." You know, you're hugging the child with Ava, and the child says, it's too much. So he says the same thing. If there's too much Ava, it can actually cause things to go wrong. It has to be Mugbal, as we'll see. And he says, that was the Chet of Nodav Avihu. The Chet of Nodav Avihu is Shiro, they saw an Esh Chadosha, Amdu Lahaysev Aval Ava. It brings a medrash, Taras Kahanim, that says they made Ava on top of Ava. That means it became so infatuated, the Ribbono Shel, they like forgot the rules. And they just ran and without thinking, made an Ezara. They just came made an Ezara. And he says that's really the pshat in everything that we're saying. All the things we're saying is that they didn't, they drank some wine, they didn't listen to the Rebbe, because they lost perspective because of that enormous Ava which they were now subject to. And that's, he says, why the Remoir Halachim Bifnei Rabbim. So he says like this. He says, Moshe said to Aaron. He says, we said before that Moshe said to Aaron, we read the pasuk, Bekroivei Akadesh, with those who are close to me, I'm going to be sanctified. Said Moshe to Aaron, Rashi tells us. Sha'amr Moshe l'Aaron, Achi b'Sinai Nemer, Aaron, my brother, it says in Sinai, Omerli, Hashem said to me, Shani osed l'kadesh es habayis, Hazeh, I'm going to be in Kadesh's house of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but Adam Gadol ani b'Kadesh, Hashem said I'm going to do it with an Adam Gadol. Nu Vayisi Sarv, and I thought, says Moshe Rabbein, I thought he meant me, or you. But obviously he meant your children, not of Aviu. V'achshav ki b'necha g'doylem mimeni, where they're bigger than us. And therefore they were the ones who were chosen to be sanctified the new Mishkan. So the question is, where were they bigger than Moshe and Aaron? How can we even say that not of Aviu were bigger than Moshe and Aaron? Moshe and Aaron were the greatest. So he says, in this sense, that's how they were the greatest. The Ava that they had was an incredible Ava, was an unbelievable Ava that caused them to do things that maybe they shouldn't have done. It says, it says in a funny way, like you said, like you pointed out, that the Avos Hashem can bring them actually to rebel in a way, it'll cause them to do things Hashem's told us not to do. Sometimes somebody, you know, a kid does something for you, and they say, and sometimes a parent will answer, I did this for you, and I went out and I did whatever I did, and it's something that they really didn't want them to do. They decided to take out all the food and put it out on the table. And the parent says, don't do me any favors. You know, I know you did it for my love, but it's not something that I really wanted. So he says, so what's the answer? The answer is you have to ask your Rebbe. The answer is a person has to ask. Before somebody does something this astonishing, he has to ask. And the aver was that they didn't ask. They just went and did it. And he brings another case where this Ava was Makalkelis HaSashura, and he says an incredible thing that an apostle that I never thought of it that way. If you take a look at the end in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov's giving a bracha to all of his children, right? He's giving the famous brachas, Birchas Yaakov, which some of them know how to sing. So it says in Pasuk Hey, if you want to look in page 143, Pasuk Hey, Shimon v'Levi Achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. So how do we always learn that they're brothers, says Rashi? They were brothers in crime, so to speak. They were brothers together to fight against Yosef. They were the brothers to do Shechem and so on. He says, no. You know what Shimon v'Levi Achim means? They were Achim to Dina. They were her brothers. But they took the brother kite too far. Yaakov was upset with them. Your brothers, yes, it's good that you were brothers to Dina. You loved her, and you cared for her, and you wanted to protect her. But you went too far. You did something which wasn't right because that Ava was too strong. And you didn't ask. You didn't ask. Had you asked, it wouldn't have happened. Where do we find somebody who did ask, who was praised, and went and did it? Pinchas. Before Pinchas went, he did his Maisa Kanois. He went and he asked Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? I don't know. You know, we don't know the answer. So he can kanoi pagan by. So he was able to do it. But he asked first. So he says the chasaron that they had is they didn't ask. Shimon Levi didn't ask. And they asked. So sometimes an avid can be so strong, or enthusiasm can be so strong, that it can lead you to do things that maybe you shouldn't do. And he brings the famous story, which is so instructive. It gives a little bit of a different spin than we've usually had. The story of the opening of the Yeshiva Volozhin. There was a great Tzaddik Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the author of the Nefesh HaChaim, if anybody's ever learned it. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, of the Grah. He was also the founder of modern yeshivas. Modern day yeshivas are all on his model. Until then, people used to just go into shul, and they would learn in the local shul, and the local rabbi would give them the shir, and that's how it did. There was no such thing as a yeshiva as we know it today. There was no Lakewood, there was no Mir, there was no Chaim Berlin, or Torah Vadas, they just weren't there. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner wanted to start this system of yeshivas where the Bachrim get together and they're in one place, and they have a dormitory, everything. So he went to the Vilna Gaon and he says, Rebbe, I have this great idea. I'm going to start a new yeshiva. I'm going to make its manager to change Klal Yisrael. And the Vilna Gaon gives him, okay, well, I don't know. And he manager walks out destroyed. Pach nefesh. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He feels so bad. So he goes back to the Vilna Gaon, and meets him a few weeks later. And the Gaon turns to him and says, "Nu, what happened with the yeshiva? Did you open it yet?" So he says, "Rebbe," I said, "what do you mean open it yet? You told me, you gave me this, like, look, I saw you didn't want me to do it, so I stopped." So this is what the Gaon answered him. He said, "Kishabas l'chachila, when you came to me the first time, bislavas kai gedayla, you had such slavs, you had such enthusiasm, such energy. I was concerned, where did that fire come from? Where did that enthusiasm come from? Did it come from a good place? Or maybe there was a little bit of gaiva there, maybe there was a little bit of yetzahara there. Who knows? I wasn't sure. Aval Ashav now, Shani Raya, Shino Toli Badas Rabbah. Now that I see that you asked, you know that your Rebbe is so important to you that when you saw I made a little face, you already stopped doing it? Yodea Nebebriris, Shemimkor Kodesh Yotz, I know came from the right place. Vanim Avarachoscha, Shetatzliach, I give you a brachish Nebatzliach. When something is too much enthusiasm, too much Ava, without the check and balance of Yira, it can come to the red place. So whenever you have an Ava, you have to have a Yira. That's why it says by Avram Avinu. What does it say by Avram Avinu? It says, Avram, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise Avram for? You don't find him praising for his chesed. What does he praise Avram for? Ati yadat yira alakimata. Now I know you're God-fearing. Because you have fearing of God, that's what you need. All Ava is going to take you to not a good place. Ava with Yira, that's a dynamic combination. That's a dynamic duo. Then you're going to be matzliach. Then you're going to be able to succeed. And he brings a raya, and we'll see him Yetz Hashem soon, in a minute, like how this is mind-boggling. We'll see all over the Torah. He's going to answer hundreds of kashas now. We're about to answer with this yisoid. It says in Friday night davening, there's a little tefillah that the Shliach Tzibur says after he finishes, called Magen Avos. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called Magen Avos Bidvaro. He guards the Avos with his words. Mechaim Meisim Amaro Hakel Hakadosh En Kamayu Aminiach Lamo Biyom Shabbos Kadoshay. Beautiful tefillah. Yivam Ratzon Niach Leham Lefanav. You should serve Hashem Beyira Vafachet, with fear and trembling and being scared. And the question is, it's Shabbos. Why are we talking about Yira Vafachet? Fakirat on Shabbos, we should be talking about, you know, Menucha, Vesimcha, all these type of things, right? We should be talking about happy stuff. Why are we talking about Yir V'Fachan? He says, that's the Pshat. Because Shabbos is known that in Klal Yisrael, the Am Medushnei Oynig, we're so gazapit Oynig, there's so much Avos Hashem on Shabbos, we have to not lose ourselves, we have to not forget ourselves, and remember their rules. There are certain things. You can't just say, well, you know, I'm going to do it, doesn't matter, who cares, Hashem will love me anyway, doesn't work. Or I love Hashem anyway. A person has, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us Yira as well as Ava. And that's why it says it. So I was thinking that if you take a look throughout our davening, you always find that whenever you have Ava, you're always going to have Yira right afterwards. Because what's the two words we use for the Shem Hashem? Hashem, Yudke Vavke, means the Midah of Rachman. That's the Midah of mercy. When we use the Yud Kei, the name Adnus, that's the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that means mercy. When we use the name Elohim, that means Din, judgment. That means Yira. So whenever we always wonder, why do we always say Hashem Elohim? Whenever we say Hashem Elohim, other Hashem, other Elohim, why do we say Hashem Elohim? So Pashup Shat, we understand it to mean that we have both. We have Hashem and we have Elohim. You have to remember Midas Arach, Midas Adin. But according to what we're saying, it's another pshat. Hashem is a Rachman. I might get so much into the Rachman, so much in the Avos Hashem, I'll lose myself and I'll forget their boundaries, their Gedorim. I have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, right? You have to teach a child not to sit in his tati and mommy's seat, because the child doesn't know that, because he has such Ava. I remember when one of my sons was little, I remember he was in like second grade, he touched the Rebbe, he went out to reach, he had such Ava for this Rebbe, he touched him. And the Rebbe gently explained to him that I'm a Rebbe, not a friend. You have to understand a Rebbe has to have a certain, you should love the Rebbe, but it has to be a little bit of distance, right? There's a table between them, right? But the Rebbe sits at a desk, a little bit of a distance. There's Ava there. And therefore, when we start our Shemoneh Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Hakel HaGadol. Well, the great God, what does Gadol mean? Whenever it says Gadol, we know Gadol always means Chesed, right? HaGadul V'Agvur of Tiferes Nes V'Hai, Gadul is Chesed. Ho'el HaGadol, we talk about the great God of Gadol, of Chesed, HaGibor. Right away we're going to say he's also Gibor. Don't forget that. Melech Ha'ezer Mashiach Magen, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. And there we go, Ata Gibor Lo'elam. Again, we mention Hashem as Magen Avraham, we right away mention Gvura, right afterwards. And then, and so on and so forth. And throughout the davening, you'll always notice that when we have chesed, we have gvura. Because that's the balance that we need to have. The balance of chesed and gvura is the perfect balance. The balance of av and yira is the perfect balance. But to just have ava is something that can be called kelsa shura. And that was the avera of Nadav Aviyu. I'd like to say a second thing, and for that, I'd like you to, if you can pass around, I made some copies of papers, you want to pass them around. And it gives an outline of what we're going to say. And we're going to talk about a clay yarker in the parasha, and this will help us with a different understanding of why the sad story of Nadav Avihu is here in the Torah. And the clay yarker is at the end of Parsha Shemais. If you have it. It's here, made a copy of it. It's at the end of Parsha Shemais. So I'll just say briefly to an introduction. The clay yarker is talking about that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Hashem, to go to Paro, and tell him, let my people go, right? Let the Yidden out. And he was also told by Hashem that you should know Paro's going to say no, and it's going to be rough, and you're going to have to force him, we're going to have to send 10 makas, but you're going to go out eventually. But in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind, it was a progression that was going to go straight up. He didn't expect bumps along the way. So look at the first line. Milas ata tshuva nechayna l'maisha. This was a tshuva al asher omer lama hareyos lama zeh. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, why did you do bad to these people? Ki lo nisra Moshe al ma shalo shalo paro is Yisrael takev. He didn't get upset and satrasel that he didn't send them out right away. Miav voilov. Shrek far armor like his brochu. Shnei Pum, Hashem already told him two times, so he tonight some melech Mitzrayim lalach, that he won't get him to go. Ach, Nisrayim, why? Amasha heir l'omazet yoysim rishayna. That's what he was upset about. What happened? I know it's going to take time, but what did Paro do? Paro said, oh, you're complaining? Okay, no more straw. That's it. You now have to go find your own straw. And things got 100 times worse. Things got much worse. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't understand the Kodesh Baruch. You told me it might take time. You didn't tell me it's going to go backward. You didn't tell me I'm going to have tzaras from him. And all of a sudden he's going to start making it worse. Why is that? So listen to what the Klei Yarker says. Turn the page and look at the paragraph that starts Veheshev. Veheshev la Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a yesod of the Klei Yarker that is used by everybody throughout the Torah. Ki mehayidua shekach yamida. You should know this is the midah. This is the way it is. Shebechol yoyim somach la'alois ha-shachar ha-chayshach machshach. When is it darkest? Before dawn. B'yoyim min cheshkat lights worse than the night. V'achachach or ha-shachar b'keh v'aylin. Then comes through the or ha-shachar. V'chein roiv ha-chaylin. People who are sick, Nebuchadnezzar, Rahman al-Slam, some of them he saw them before they pass on. Hey, mischaskin v'yoshin alamita mevakshin lechel v'achach hamav is goyver. Lots of times people, they get a day or two that all of a sudden they feel better for a day or two and they're able to give a tzivut talk and everybody's thinking this is it, and then Nebuch, it goes the other way. Hey, v'mais ha-charv, when it's winter, samach alias Hashem, sun comes up, and Hakor Hailov Vegaiver, Lasaifu Menutzav Min Hashemesh. Vizet Darvet Tivi, and this is Darvet Tivi. He gave an example of the Shabbos Licht. If you were ever there when the Shabbos Licht go out Friday night, so right before they go out, they spurt up. There's like a spurt. You ever notice they go up, and then they go out. Ki Chol Darvet Tivi Hamargish Sheba Kenegdo Eze Darvet Hafakilai. A Darvet Tivi that sees that the end is coming, something is coming against it. A rifle of Atmitzius, which wants to wipe it out, Ozhu Mischazi Biyoiser Kineg Misnagdo. It tries its best to overcome it. And that's what happens. Says the Klei Yarker Yosef, that whenever something is coming to an end, the thing that's coming to an end gets a burst of strength and is able for a brief moment to shine, and then it goes out. And that's the way it is.
You see that with people that before and after.
That's what he said. Right. Exactly. Before, there's a moment, sometimes they have clarity, and then it goes out. Because when it's, whatever this is, we'll see why. We'll talk about it. But it's in the Teva. He says it's in the Bria. That's the way it is. And he said in the same way in the Olam of Ruchnius, that when we have something in the Olam of Ruchnius that's about to become extinguished, it'll give a big push and go the other way. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, Paro's almost finished. And that's why you're getting this now. It's his last gasp. Don't look at it, oh look, Paro's about to, look, what did you do, Hashem? Hashem, you told me and it's not coming true and it's not the way you told me. Chas v'shalom. It's exactly the way I told you. And the Haraya, this is the Raya that's that way, because that's the way it is. Because this is the darkness before dawn. And this is what Paro did. So he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry. Everything has its last minute. He gave an example. Sometimes you find a person builds a maestro, yeshiva, shul. There's always, as they're about, something always happens, right? Something's always the flood. They run out of money. I mean, anybody lives in Flatbush, on 19th and Avenue N. There was a Kamenetsu yeshiva. Remember, stood there for 15 years. They got up the skeleton. They ran out of money. That's what happens. He says, that's it. So the same thing. This was the last gasp of power before it was all over. So he said, Amir Degazaga, look at number two. He said, and this is so true today, in Rambam, Zatzal, he said when the conservatives were making a big push to go into Israel, in the late 90s, they're making a big push to go into Israel, as they are today with the Women of the Wall and all these type of things. So Rambam's comment to Rabbi Reisman was, Yener Klei Yoker. That's the Klei Yoker. They're giving a last gasp, a last push, because for so many years they didn't care about Israel. They weren't Zionist. Conservative reform were not Zionistic. Forget, reform is against Zionists. Because they felt the Jews should be, you know, they shouldn't have a land. They should be wherever they are, Rachman's son. So therefore, it was their last gasp. He said, Rapam, that's the last gasp. That's the Klei Yoker. And he said, it's amazing. If you read the Pew report that came out, 10 years ago, conservative was 41% of the population of Jews in the United States. It dropped to 18% in 10 years. And Mamish was like a ship going down. It went down 23%. It's only 18% from. How did that happen? So he says, because that was their last push. And the embassies, we're seeing it again now in Israel. It's trackless in Israel. What they're trying to totally turn over Eretz Yisrael as a Jewish country. They're trying to get rid of Jewish marriage, trying to get rid of Jewish divorce, they're trying to get rid of the Kaisel as a place of Kedusha. All of these things, where did it come from? Why all of a sudden now? It's because the Reform and Conservative are about, they're going out of business. They're assimilating out with almost nobody left. So he says that's where you see this last push. He says another place where you see it. Take a look in Bereishis, Perek Yudtes, Pasuk Gimel. The story of Sodom. So what happens in Sodom? Light lets them in, right? He lets all the people in. He lets the two, the three malachim in, the two malachim in, and then all of a sudden the people of the city show up, right? So take a look at the Pesukim. So it says the people of the city show up, and they're not happy about this. So it says, Vayomer Geshu Hala Vayomer Oechad Balogur Vayishpot Shafar. Are you going to go? So what did they say? So the whole city shows up. So it says in the Pasuk, and the entire city comes. Here it is. Teren Yishkavu, Pasuk Dalet, V'anshe Yair, Anshe Sodom, Nasabal Abayis, they all come and they gang up at the door. Minar Vatzokin. He says, Minar, from every child Vatzokin until every elderly person. Kol Om, everybody. The whole city comes. So he says, does that make sense? The whole city comes. Every time somebody tried to do chesed, the whole city shows up knocking on the door. And he says, and even more strange, he says, what happens? Look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Skip to Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, Veshanoshim Asher Pasuk by Hikuba Sanveim. They get struck with blindness. So normally, what would happen when a person struck with blindness? He'd be getting out of it as fast as he could, he'd be running away. So what do? So they're blind, but you live Zabasa. They're so crazed, they're trying to find the Pesach. He says, what's going on here? This is the way Sodom was every single time. The whole city, Nosh of the top, the whole city came out. They never have any time to do anything. He says, this is the Pshat. Because they were about to be destroyed, this was the last flame. This was the last gasp. As they were about to go out of business, they gave one last push. That's what was going on. Taka didn't come every time somebody did Chesed. But here, because it was at the end, that's why they did it. It says, if you take a look in the Taisus Yontav, and take a look in number four, there's a Taisus Yontav that talks about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It says, it's very strange what they did with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. There was a halacha that they used to lead in front of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur, to prepare him. So they lead various animals in front of him. They lead a goat, and a sheep, and a cow. So he shouldn't make a mistake. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a zoo in Cholamite or anywhere, but the difference between a cow and a goat, I mean, you can't make a mistake. It's pretty hard. Even a goat and a sheep, I mean, and we don't live on farms, we live in the city. Can you imagine somebody lives on farms? How can you make such a mistake? That's fact of Taisus Yontav. Or it says that they guarded him, he shouldn't become tame. So he says, a whole year, all of a sudden, Yom Kippur, the holiest days, we become tame. What's up? They're very careful. And it says in the morning they got up and they said when sunlight is. I mean, you could pick out when sunlight is. Look up at sunlight. So what was going on? It says the same thing. The Eitz Hara knew that on the holiest day of Yom Kippur, it's going to be about to be defeated. The Yidin are going to kapara. Everybody's going to be, mom's going back, like driven snow, they're going to be back to the beginning. So the Eitz Hara got scared. So he sort of pulled out all the stops. He'll even make the kohen gadol mix up a sheep with a goat. He'll even make the kohen gadol become tamei. He'll do anything he can. The last flame, the last is coming up. He says that's the pshat over here. And he says one last thing. It says that before the Bayis Sheni, you know, there was no nevuah for a long time. And all of a sudden before the Bayis Sheni, you have Chagai, Zechai, Malachai. Tremendous amount of nevuah. Before the Bayis Rishon, tremendous amount of nevuah. Yirmiyah, all the on the nevuah, on the Bayis. The last, there was much more nevuah then. What's pshat? Again, in the same way that evil has its last lick, so does Kedusha. So it's something which is holy and pure. Also, nevuah was about to end. This was Saif nevuah. The end of nevuah. So therefore there was a big push and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that it should go out that way. So you have a tremendous insight of the Klei Yachar, that when something is about to end, there's a bren, there's a fire. Whether it be something bad is about to end, there's a fire, or something good is about to end, there's a fire, and that's something we have to have. So not of Aviyu, right now you're coming to the base, to the Mishkan, you're coming to the end of the Tekufa before the Mishkan, you start a new Tekufa of Kedusha, and came along not of Aviyu, and came the Eish that consumed them. So we have to learn a lesson, I think, from all of this.
They meant well. I mean,
no, they avoided them.
Like
well.
You said,
so that, we have to learn. But we have to learn two things. I think we have to learn two things here, two very important lessons. Lesson number one: when there's ra in the world, don't be miayish al tisyayish, because sometimes the more there is, the more it's pushing, the means it's about to go to the end. There's a famous pasuk that says, "Lifnei shever gaon." Before the downfall, right? That's one of the reasons by Purim, back to Purim, why did she invite Haman to the party? Because she wanted he should be brought up high, because when he's brought up high, then he's going to come back down and come crashing back down. She brought him to the party because she brings him to the party, so then he'll become much more. That's the last. That was his last gasp. The last gasp of Haman was coming to the party and thinking that look at Esther and Achashverosh, look how much they love me. He was up there. And then he came down, because that was his last gap. And you look throughout Tanakh and you'll find it. So the lesson we have to learn is two lessons. Lesson number one is when it's ra, don't be afraid of it. Don't say, you know, there's so much ra in the world. With the hindsight of history, we see how ra goes up and ra goes down. Goes up and goes down. Look at Soviet Union. You look at fascism. All of these things, communism. They go up, they go down. If it's something that's ra, before the end, it'll give the last gasp, the last burst, the last. So sometimes you think that's it, they're winning again. Don't be miyash. You can still, we have to fight them, because we're looking at, we said reform and conservative now in Israel. They're making this huge push to destroy Israel. It's the last gasp, but we have to fight them. But we shouldn't give up, because we know that we can fight them because they're at the end. And the same way with Kedusha. When you have something, when you have a Nod of Aviyu, who brought such Ava, they taught us tremendous Ava. Okay, so it was a mistake, because Ava has to be Mugbal by Yira. But halavai, we should get to their level of Ava, then we can start worrying about Yira. First, let's get to the level of Ava. And we have to learn from both the good and the bad, that when things are about to end, Medar for Rein Chapin. And so many times, we're not smart. I know... How many things I wish I'd asked my father and my mother, and when the time I could ask them, and I didn't, so I missed it. But so many things that we have people that we can ask from, people we can learn from, G'dayli Taira, G'dayli Yira, that are from the previous generation. So how many times I remember used to complain to Rabbi Walpin, Zalzayin Gesund, that in the Jewish Observer they would have all these great biographies of G'dayli Taira after they were Nifter. So I said, why do you wait till after Nifter? It's too late now, I can't go to them. If you had the thing before when they were alive, I might have run to them. I might have clapped the right. But I didn't. So in the same way, we have to learn that lesson. We have to say, to look around us and always say, if there's a tekufa ending, and there's some way we can hop onto that tekufa, we have to grab it. We have to grab it while we have it. If there's a tekufa ending that's a bad one, we shouldn't be miayishim, because the Ribbono Shel Olam will protect us and continue to guide us in Yetzer Hashem for of Eibik. So I think we learned a couple of good things today. We learned about Hashem Elokeinu. We learned about whenever there's an Av, an unbridled Av, we have to have a year with it. And we also learned about... I'm sorry?
No, she's not here. Just shut it off. I said that.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, so we should learn that Hashem Elokeinu. And we also learned about that the last gasp, we can take it home with you and think about it. Maybe come up with some other good rise, that there's a last moment. We get a Rein Chapin. We have to Rein Chapin when we have such people we can learn from. We have to chaperein to learn from them, to learn from a tekufa, to do it while we can. And it's Hashem next week. We're all eyes are on Pesach, Bezos Hashem Yisbarach. So we start a little bit talking about Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Esther Makis. So we will join Klal Yisrael and Yitz Hashem leaving Mitzrayim and thinking about leaving Mitzrayim, trying to learn some of the Haggadah over the next couple of weeks until Pesach. So have a good Shabbos, and we'll get started in our Pesach preparations next week. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming.
You know, yeah. We have an answer story to make a shoe on